The KB Chronicles, the series of outlandish events.
Stay curious.
Stay curious.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, look at Yep, I'm ready.
Oh, okay. Welcome back again.
Can you see my username? I was gonna do your new empire, but I did Lord Farquaad.
That movie, Revenge of the Sith was on. I walked out. It was like in my room. I woke up and my mom was out in the living room. I walked out, and literally the last bit of where they were doing their dialogue between each other before the fight scene, I started reciting it. And my mom's like, "How do you know that?" And I'm like, "Listen, Bailey and Allison were reciting it this entire summer. I have it like in the back of my head right now.
Literally, it never goes away." That's like the other day. Do you remember the pacer test?
Yes.
I literally pulled the entire thing. It was like the fitness gram pacer. Wait, what is it? How's it go? I just exposed myself.
The something something fitness test.
The fitness is kind of a pacer test. It's aerobic capacity test.
That's like with the beat test.
That progressively gets more difficult as you continue.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's how it goes. It goes, the 20 meter pacer test begin in 30 seconds. Line up at the start. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Third episode of the night.
Don't tell them that. We have to make it look like we filmed these.
I think we're both in a very good mood tonight. We just got done. I almost said filming, recording Bailey's episode.
Don't expose it because maybe I listen won't. To it. Okay.
Yeah, listen to it. It will definitely be posted before this episode.
So wait, shouldn't definitely... it go like one of mine, yours, and then one of mine?
Yeah. So. Oh, wait, this one, well, which one do you want to be posted first? Do you want
probably Thanksgiving, because okay. It's like...
So, I won't expose Bailey's episode, but make sure you have a snack by your side, because you might get a little hungry.
Or maybe not.
Or maybe not. The end is a little gruesome, but that's all you're going to know.
It's not gruesome, it's very like, what did he say?
Yeah, what did I say? You said what? So, yeah. Bailey, are you ready for this interesting... Oh, yeah, we're doing a cryptid episode, by the way.
Casey's episode. It's Casey's turn.
Yeah, so if you listen to Bailey's episode about, you'll know when you know. We kind of recorded this backwards, so don't mind the ending to the next episode. It's just a hype up for whatever.
Well, but, after that episode will be another cryptid episode, so, like, honestly, true. It doesn't even matter.
That's true. That's very true.
Because it'll be your turn again.
Yeah. So, we are doing a cryptid episode, but we're not doing our creepy, crawly cryptids. We're going to be doing a cute little cryptid.
Okay, I'm happy.
Bailey, did you ever hear of Jeff the Talking Mongoose?
No, but he sounds so much fun.
Yes, he's called the Dalby Spook. I wanted to introduce a new little segment to our podcast, if that is okay with you.
Yeah.
Okay, so this segment I'm calling Throwback in History. So I am taking Bailey's brand, but I'm just doing a timeline.
Oh, wait, that's what I do. Remember I said that like a while ago that I was going to start doing that. Oh, I do that in Terrair. I don't think I did that.
Oh! Yeah. Oh! I'll cut.
No, don't tell them because they'll Google it.
No, okay. I'll cut it out.
Just bleep it. Put a bleep. That'd be so funny.
Oh, yes. I can do that. I can do sound effects on okay. that. I will do that.
But yeah, I do that like as well.
Yeah.
I said I was going to start doing that back after the 1904 Olympics. If you haven't listened to that one, it's already out.
Yeah, go for it. Because after the 1904 Olympics, we're going to jump another maybe like 15 years here. And we're going into 1931. So I'm just going to give a quick throwback of each month with important things that were happening. So we're going to hop right into January. The American Federation of Labor's National Committee for Modification of the Volstead Act is formed to work with the repeal of the prohibition of the United States.
I have a fact about that on brand. Here's your historical. I love how I literally have a fact. This is so funny because it's like we definitely do abide by our brands. Like, I am full of facts. Casey's full of spooky things about the Volstead Act. So what people like don't really realize is to have an amendment to the Constitution that doesn't, the amendment isn't what is acted upon. To enforce the amendment, you have to have an act. So the Volstead Act was the 18th Amendment prohibition. See, that's where I lose because I don't remember every detail. But for the prohibition amendment, the Volstead Act is what was passed to enforce it. So that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You're talking about the reappeal of the Volstead Act?
Yes. So it was the National Committee for Modification of Volstead Act is formed to work with the repeal of the prohibition in the United States.
Yeah. So Prohibition Act, and here's the fact. The Prohibition Act was the only amendment to the Constitution that ever took rights away from American citizens. Fact number one. That's really fun, whoa, right? Yep. We've never had an amendment before or after that took rights away. They always give. Second is, this one's really cool and blew my mind. One of our most recent amendments, I'm not sure what it was. It was like 20 something. Was this amendment that was passed in 1992. And it just had to do with salaries, like congressmen, like kind of stuff like that. It didn't affect like the American citizens. It definitely affected just like the people in our government and the US government. And that act took, it was first proposed on the floor right after the formation of our country in like 17 blah blah blah, and it was passed in 1992. So that act took 217 years 10 days 7 months and 10 days to pass, whereas the Prohibition Act only took 13 months, I believe, to pass.
Damn.
So that shows like how much the climate at the time was really pushing for prohibition. And this had to do with, if you think about what it was when prohibition happened in America, it happened in the, it was the 19, happened after 1920s, which was, is that what happened?
something like
I
that.
I sound like a fool. But it was 1920s ish. And then that's right after World War One, and World War One was with obviously Germany being the main bad guy. And so at the time, German American sentiment was really low. Like, everyone hated German Americans, so it wasn't really that much of a problem to abandon. A lot of the loggers at the time were German. So we have like Yingling, everything like that.
Yeah.
They're German. So literally like American citizens were despised. Everyone kind of hated them. So sentiment was not good. It was easy for them to abandon beers because they were all German beers at the time. And then I had to go with women's rights because the women's rights movement wouldn't have happened without prohibition. Like, it's a whole thing. It's so much fun.
It really is. But it is.
The
tidbit
was that the Prohibition Act amendment took like a few months, whereas an act that had to do with Congress took 200 years, 7 months,
it's
and
so
3 days.
Crazy. Did you see that one TikTok? That this one these guys, like, they lived in this house and they found stored beer at the bottom of it because of the prohibition in the United States. So I think that's really cool that at one point in history, like, alcohol was banned. Like, it's interesting.
It was 1920s, 1933. I feel like a fool.
Yeah.
I feel like a fool.
No, you were spitting the facts right there. We were literally on the first thing that happened in January of 1931.
Sorry, I have just tidbits.
No, it's okay. Continuing on January 6th, Thomas Edison submits his last patent application.
Ooh, that's fun. We hate Edison, though. He stole Nikola Tesla's ideas. That's also a fun fact.
Whoa.
Edison stole Nikola Tesla's ideas, and he used to, to get propaganda against Nikola Tesla, he would electrocute, like, elephants and bigger-sized animals and say that it was Nikola Tesla's currents. It was, like, AC versus, like, DC. And it was actually, in fact, Edison's. So, propaganda.
Damn. F you, Edison. Jumping into February, food riots break out in Minneapolis and other parts of the United States. February 20th, California gets the go-ahead by the U.S. Congress to build the San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge.
Oh, that's the bridge.
Yeah, that is the bridge. The one bridge we all know and love. Hopping into March 1st, battleship USS Arizona. I don't know if we mentioned the Arizona, but go check out the Philadelphia experiment. That bust of an episode that we did.
It was a bust.
So the battleship USS Arizona is placed back into full commission after a refit. March 3rd, the Star Spangled Banner is adopted as the U.S. national anthem. So only in 1931 that happened. March 17th, Nevada legalizes gambling. In April 22nd, the U.S., Austria, United Kingdom, Denmark, Germany, Italy, and Sweden recognize the Spanish Republic. Hopping into May 1st, construction of the Empire State Building is completed in New York City. Wow. Yeah. And then May 20th, Lake of the Ozarks is completed. In June 19th, in an attempt to stop the banking crisis in Central Europe from causing a worldwide financial meltdown, President Herbert Hoover issues the Hoover Moratorium. June 23rd, Wiley Post and Harold Gaddy take off from the Roosevelt Field, Long Island, in attempt to accomplish the first round-the-world flight in a single-engine plane. In July, John Haven Emerson of Cambridge, Massachusetts, perfects the Emerson Iron Lung just in time for the growing polio epidemic. July 26th, the International Bible Students Association adopts the name Jehovah's Witness at the convention in Columbus, Ohio. There's only one thing that happens in September, and that is the construction of the Rockefeller Center on Manhattan.
Oh my gosh, did you know the Rockefeller family, I don't think it's them anymore, but they're only like out of the top 25 richest family in America. They're like,
really?
Yeah, it's top 15. They're like 11. Like, they're not even up there anymore.
Damn. I
know. You know what the most wealthy family is? It's the Walmart family. I think they're called the Walmart.
Really?
What are they called? The Wheaton? I don't know their real name. It starts with a W, but it's not Walmart.
Damn.
Crazy.
Wow. Okay, so in October, the Caltech Department of Physics faculty and graduate students meet with Albert Einstein as a guest. We're going to hop into a little bit of sports.
Wait, but that's also a really interesting point. I feel like the perception of time is just so off. Sometimes, because, like, when people think Albert Einstein, they don't think, like, 1930s. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, Albert Einstein, like, I don't think that he lived... Like, that wasn't that long
ago. Remember the Rosa Parks thing? Like, she yes. was alive to potentially yes. see all three of the first Star Wars movies, the first two Shrek movies. Like, she only died in 2005.
Like, our perception... It's just so weird. Like, time is such a weird concept to me.
Especially for figures that you learn about, you know?
Yes. Because you don't think they... Like, you feel like they were, like, born so long ago. But in reality, they're only a couple decades behind us. So, hopping into sports, on October 10th, the St. Louis Cardinals defeat the Philadelphia Athletics 4-3 to win their second World Series title in baseball. We're going into October 17th with Al Capone. He's sentenced to 11 years in prison for tax evasion in Chicago.
I'll tell you what I love. I love the Italian mafia.
I was about to say.
In the 40s. Yes. You have no idea. The Godfather is like my favorite movie. Like, I wish I was Vito Corleone and I could marry Michael Corleone. I love The Godfather, and I love that, but not in reality. I guess I love the romanticized version because I know how, like, wild and
it was because you have so many different types of gangsters and mobs and stuff like that. Like, there's so many.
Yeah, but mafia, that was organized crime.
Yes,
I like the respect of it. There isn't.
October 24th, the George Washington Bridge across the Hudson River is dedicated. It opens to traffic the following day. At 3,500 feet, it nearly doubles the previous record for the longest main span in the world.
What bridge is that?
George Washington Bridge across the Hudson River.
Mm.
finally hopping into December, the month that we're currently in now, the is it Eta chapter of Kappa Delta Phi, oh my god, Pi, is founded at the University of Maine at Machias. And then December 26th, Pi Lota Alpha, the oldest surviving Latino fraternity, is founded. And then there is an undated one where Elizabeth Dilling begins anti-communist activism. And then
communist.
Oh, sorry, communist. I was reading it too fast. I'm glad that you picked that up. And then some ongoing things that were happening. The Lochner area, which was from 1897 to 1937. U.S. occupation of Haiti, 1915 to 1934. Prohibition, 1919 to 1933. The Great Depression was going on from 1929 to 1933. And then the Dust Bowl, which was 1930 to 1936.
Love Grapes of Wrath.
Yep. So that kind of wraps up our little timeline of our throwback to in history. So I have a question, another question for you, Bailey. Mm-hmm. Would you like me to do an accent and some weird voices for this?
If you want.
Okay. It's going to be a British accent. So
maybe not for the whole thing.
No, I was going to do it in Jeff. Because there is a lot of quoting of what... Okay, I'm going to spoil it. Okay, so we're going to hop into the story, if that's okay with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in September of 1931, the Irving family, consisting of James, Margaret, and 13-year-old daughter named Voyery, claimed that they heard persistent scratching, rustling, and vocal noises behind their farmhouse's wooden wall panels that variously resemble a ferret, a dog, or a baby.
That's a cute little ferret.
If you were in that position, what would you be thinking in that moment? Like,
well, if it sounded like a dog, then I don't know. Those are three very widely different.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, those are like a ferret to a dog to a baby. Like, they all make variously different sounds.
What does a ferret sound like? Like a meh?
Maybe
like a chipping? Like a chirping?
Yeah. Like a, maybe like what a squirrel sounds like.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, something like that, probably.
Almost like a cat. That's funny that they would say, like,
literally, like I said, it's so three different sounds. James, Margaret, and Voyery put traps around the house that failed to catch whatever was scrambling around in the walls, leading James to make a last-ditch attempt by growling at the unknown creature. So you know how women use it as a defensive mechanism when males like to catcall when they go...
Yeah.
That's basically what he was doing by this unknown creature.
That's funny.
An attempt of this, the creature growled back. And what's more... Any animal sound James made, the creature proved itself capable of mimicking that
sound.
Ew,
that's creepy, Casey.
Yeah. No, it's okay. It gets better. According to the Irvings, a creature named Jeff introduced itself, which turned out to be a he, and told them that he was a mongoose born in New Delhi, India in 1852.
Oh my god. That's actually really fun.
Isn't it? He claimed he lived variously with a tall man. Tall man who wore a green turban on his head, end quote, and quote, hunchback, end quote. So this man was wearing a green turban on his head, living his life. He was a hunchback.
And he had a pet mongoose named Jeff.
Yeah, he was living with this man. This man went by the name of Holland. So
Tom Holland.
Not Tom Holland. Maybe a couple years earlier of Tom Holland.
I love Tom Holland.
By the time he took up with Holland, Jeff had made his way to Egypt.
Oh.
Holland was the one who took him from there to England. According to Voyery, Jeff possesses a small rat-like body with a long bushy tail, body and tail being of a yellowish hue, and the tail speckled with brown. She later estimated in an interview some 30 years later that his body was between 9 inches and a foot long. So, that fair size.
You think she was just like hallucinating?
We'll get into that.
Was she tripping on something? I don't know. Maybe she was drunk.
No, Bailey, we will get an I promise.
She had a stockpile. Did you know that it wasn't so, like, it was illegal to purchase and make alcohol, but it wasn't legal to drink the alcohol you already had?
Really?
Yeah, that's why people would store it. Like, that's why they would find it in their house. The president had an entire stockpile enough to last him, like, forever.
Are you still looking up stuff on the Prohibition?
I didn't look it up. I know it.
Or you pulled that out of your head?
Yes. Everything I pull out of my head.
Okay. Oh, my God.
You insult me as the historian of this podcast. I don't Google it.
I apologize. I take my comment back. Okay. The Irvings say that Jeff communicated to them and that he was an extra, extra clever mongoose.
I love that.
And an earthbound spirit. And a ghost in the form of a mongoose. And once said, okay, this is where it's going to get really weird. I'm going to try to bring theatrics to this podcast. Oh, this is going to go so bad. I am a freak.
Oh my gosh.
I have haunts and I have feet. And if you saw me, you faint. You'd be petrified, mummified, turned into a stone or pillar of salt.
What?
Jeff knew bits of a variety of languages. Do you want to know what those languages are?
Well, he's from India, so I would guess something around those lines. And then,
well,
if he went to Egypt, maybe he knows a little bit of, I don't know, was he specifically in Egypt? Was he around, like, the Mediterranean? Maybe he speaks Hebrew. I'll take a gander. I'll take a guess. Won't take a gander. I'm not looking. And then if he went to Europe, I would hope it'd be really fun if he could speak French or something.
Okay, so are you ready?
Yeah.
So the languages he spoke included Russian, Spanish, Welsh, and Flemish, which is the Dutch language as spoken in Flanders, one of the two official languages of Belgium.
Where was she from again? Where is this taking place?
This is taking place in England.
Where in England?
I know that I later stayed it. I can't remember where.
What years again?
1931.
So she's literally just pulling the languages that would probably be most around her. Like Welsh.
You're creating conspiracies already.
Well, and she's making it up. That's what I'm trying to rationalize. Even if she doesn't realize she's making it up. Because those are why. Like, he said he's from India. So it doesn't make sense. Why wouldn't it be a language?
Like, I think it's really weird that he's speaking Russian and Spanish.
Well, no, like, that's what I'm thinking. Like, it didn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. So you're right.
But Spanish, maybe. I don't know. It's in Europe.
Maybe. I mean, Welsh kind of makes sense.
Welsh definitely makes sense. Flemish definitely makes sense. Russian kind of makes sense because at least it's like. I'm just imagining. Yeah. I don't know. Probably don't. Yeah, okay.
Okay. His voice was shrill and squeaky, and he liked to swear. He usually indicated that he was around by calling one of the Irvings by
name. You know what I'm kind of imagining? Paddington Bear, but make him kind of, like, have the attitude of Ted from, like, that movie with Mark Wahlberg, I think.
Yes, yes. I can get onto that image right now. That's he would be a Ted. Huh.
Like a Deadpool attitude.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like Paddington Bear. Or like Winnie the Pooh. But he's not like a bear, obviously. But
he was a 1930s version of Ted.
Yes.
So he sang along with the gramophone, sometimes putting bawdy twist on his favorites. And when he decided he was done talking, he'd say vanished and then disappear.
My gosh, maybe he was a reality shifter. Isn't that what they do? Like they have like a code word.
Ooh. Yeah. Conspiracy theory.
Number three.
The talking mongoose was a literally. Okay. So the Irvings made various claims about Jeff. He supposedly guarded their house and informed them of the approach of guests or any unfamiliar dog. They said that if someone had forgotten to put out the fire at night, Jeff would go down and stop the stove. The Irvings claimed Jeff would also wake people up when they overslept, and whenever mice got into the house, Jeff would supposedly assume the role of the cat, although he preferred to scare them rather than kill them.
Hmm.
The Irvings say that they gave Jeff biscuits, chocolates, and bananas, and food was left for him in a saucer suspended from the ceiling, which he took when he thought no one was watching. The Irvings claimed the mongoose regularly accompanied them on trips to the market, but always stayed on the other side of the hedges, chatting incessantly to people walking by. FYI, I forgot where I was getting my information from. This is a combination from Wiki and theghostinmymachine.com. So, Jeff was no friendly household spook, though. He cursed a lot. He stated before hurling insults at the Irvings when they did things that displeased him. So, basically, the Irvings kind of pissed him off a lot. Even if it was just taking too long to open the morning paper, to which he would say, "Read it out, you fat-headed gnome."
Mood.
And, he threw things, ointment jars, packing case needles, stones, and even heavy pieces of furniture, which I don't understand how this foot-long mongoose was able to pick up heavy furniture and toss it at
them. Yeah, I think they're all, like, in the same delusion.
We'll get into it. He threatened the family, saying things like, "I am not evil. I could be if I wanted. You don't know what damage or harm I could do if I were roused. I could kill you all, but I won't."
Tea.
Yeah, Jeff is a little feral. Jeff had an unsettling obsession with Voyery, who is the daughter. He spoke the most of her, and although James and Margaret did on occasion glimpse Jeff, Voyery was the only one who was allowed to look at him for any extended amount of time.
Ew, that's weird. She was a kid, and, like, it probably wasn't even a mongoose. It was, like, I don't even know.
Yeah. He frightened her enough that one night early in his tenure at Dorlish Cashin, so that's the place that they are at, is Dorlish Cashin. She opted to sleep in her parents' bedroom. She didn't like being alone in the dark while Jeff was kicking up such a racket. He stated, "I'll follow her wherever you put her." He spat that at the family when they talked about settling Voyery in Jim and Margaret's room. Then after the Irvings barricaded the door to ensure that Jeff couldn't get in, the creature doubled down on his efforts. So basically he realized that there's only so much that he can do, and he basically just stopped. Continuing on, Voyery gave only one interview as an adult about her family's alleged experiences with Jeff. And although later during his years with the family, he seemed protective of her, she did not remember him fondly. She quoted, "Jeff was very detrimental to my life," she said. "We were snubbed. The other children used to call me the spooky. I had to leave the Isle of the Man. And I hope that no one where I worked out ever knows the story," end quote. She even believed that Jeff was responsible for her never getting married. Quote, "How could I ever tell a man's family about what happened," end quote, she said. The last thing that she ever said on the subject was, quote, "I wish he had let us alone," end quote. She died in 2005.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so not that long ago she passed away. So we're gonna go into the investigation of Jeff. Let's set a little scene here. Let's say you and I were living in 1931. We were wherever this was happening. We were in this area, or we could be outsiders hearing about this talking mongoose. What would you think of it? Like, if you heard it for the first time, what would you think?
A talking mongoose. Like, someone came up to me and was like, "Hey, Bailey, you want to come see my talking mongoose?"
Yeah. Like, if I came up to you and was like, "Bailey, so there's this talking mongoose wherever in UK. Do you want to travel and see this talking mongoose?"
I would think it's a euphemism for something. Like, what do you mean, talking mongoose? Wink, wink. Like, what are we doing here? Like, I'm so confused.
Yeah.
But, and then if you tried to insist that it was literally a talking mongoose, that's not a position. I'm a skeptical believer. So I'd be like, no. No, heart emoji.
No, it's fairy letter writing. Okay. So, what was the public to make of these stories? They were covered in a number of newspapers. So they actually
let it out. Like, they didn't keep it a secret until, like, the end. Like, it was, like, they were very vocal about the fact that they had a talking mongoose named Jeff.
Talking mongoose.
See, that means that's even more. Yes. Like, what were they, what did they do for a living? Did you see anything?
It never stated. I'm assuming that James and Margaret, they probably had a farm. Oh, okay. Maybe. That's what I assume, but there wasn't really anything that stated what they did.
Yeah, I don't know why they want this kind of publicity. Like,
yeah, honestly, to me, it's a people who are bored and they. Well, which almost
adds into the validity that maybe they actually believed this. I don't, but maybe they did. Like, yeah. You know?
Yeah. No. I mean, there were a lot of people who came around and did visit the Irving's homestead to find this talking mongoose to see if it was actually real. And we are going to get into two men, I think, who visited the Irving homestead. So what was the public to make of these stories? They were covered in a number of newspapers at the time, but was Jeff actually real or was he just a trick or a hoax? A number of notable investigators undertook to discover exactly what was going on in the Irving's farmhouse. And each one of these investigators arrived at a different conclusion. So, our first guy, Captain James McDonald, was actually a pseudonym for Captain James Dennis. He visited the homestead three times between 1932 and 1935 at the behest of Harry Price, who was our other character in the story, who Jim had frequently written. Dennis was convinced of Jeff's existence, despite the fact that he never saw Jeff. He was convinced that Jeff existed, but never saw.
They were on like an Aeron pocket. You know how in PA, like, you have to get an Aeron detector because we have like weird like emissions. Maybe they're on like weird emissions. Yes.
That could possibly be it. Okay, he heard him and saw the effects of his movements, though particularly during the visit in 1935, from a report he wrote to Harry Price.
Harry Potter.
Quote, okay. Quote, the voice then started in earnest, and the noise in the house was amazing. Shrill screams accompanied by terrifying knocking, loud bangs, and emanated from all parts of the house in quick succession, as if the perpetrator moved with lightning speed. The noise continued for about 15 minutes, culminating with tremendous brands as if something had been thrown and great violence upstairs, end quote. Going back to what I was saying, James Dennis also witnessed a bottle and china tray fly from the top of the staircase while a devilish laugh sounded out. Oh, I thought you said how. I was like, I don't know.
With his ears.
Voyery's door was still shut tight at the time, so Dennis believed there was no way she could be responsible.
Was she in the room? The door shut room?
She was still locked.
Yeah, but like, how could she not be responsible for it if he was like by the room? Where was he at?
In the house?
Oh, he saw something fly across the room, though, right? Oh, okay.
Okay. So, talking about Harry Price now, Price, however, was more skeptical, although he would eventually visit himself along with the listener-editor Richard S. Lambert, and indeed, the duo would later write a book about their findings called The Haunting of Cashin's Gap. It took some time for him to get there, during which he continued to receive letters from Jim Irving. Irving sent him some hair samples and casts of footprints allegedly from Jeff, after Jeff. The hair was determined.
My name's Jeff.
However, the hair was determined by Martin Duncan of the Zoological Society not to be mongoose hair. It was probably from a dog. So, said Duncan, I can very definitely say that the specimen hairs never grew upon a mongoose, nor are they those of a rat, rabbit, hare, squirrel, or other rodents. I'm inclined to think that these hairs have probably been taken from a longish-haired dog, end quote. At this point, it was worth pointing here that the Irvings had a sheepdog.
I have a sheepdog. Her name was Mona. I do. Did that's you? What Daisy is. She's an old English sheepdog. We just trim her a lot because she gets hot.
Yes. Wow. So that's you. One thing
we have old English sheepdogs
in common. Yeah. Hopefully you don't have a talking
monkey. Okay. Maybe it was. Jeff maybe theirs house. Wasn't an old English sheepdog, but we both had sheepdogs of a sort.
The footprints, meanwhile, had a huge disparity between the front and back paws. While this matched up with how the Irvings had previously described Jeff's front paws, they were almost human-like, apparently, which is...
No, but, like, what if it was a human? What if it was a man in a costume?
Ew. Yeah. Jeff? Okay.
Because it very well could have just been, like, Uncle Jeff, and he just was like, aha, it's a gag. Gotcha!
Surprise! That's, yeah, I mean, in the sense, the Zoological Society was, again, skeptical of these findings. They said that no animal existed with such a disparity between its front and back paws. Furthermore, the prints were curiously devoid of the textures one would expect to find on something that had been cast from an actual animal skin. So, like, you know, if you look at a dog's paw, you see texture on the paw. So, none of that texture was showing up on the cast that he was making. continuing on, when Price and Lambert visited in 1935, however, Jeff was nowhere to be seen. He refused to come out. After they left, Jeff returned and told James Irving James is Jim, by the way. He either went by James or Jim. So, if you hear me referring him as James, that's also just Mr. Irving. He told Price and Lambert that Jeff was away on holiday. So, for what it's worth, he had previously expressed a dislike of the very idea of Harry Price calling him the man who puts the kibosh on the spirits. Price did take some hair samples from the sheepdog Mona while he was there, however, which were later claimed by the experts to match the hair that James had previously sent him. So Price took hair from Mona to compare the sample Jim Irving sent him as well. Then there was Nandor Fodor, who, like Dennis, believed Jeff to be real and, moreover, to be an actual talking mongoose. So here's another fellow who believes that Jeff is an actual thing. Although he, like Price and Lambert, never witnessed Jeff, the stories he heard from others were enough to convince him that the Irvings weren't perpetuating fraud. Fedor also dismissed the idea of the creature being a poltergeist. Fedor believed, very earthly. Jeff never claims to be without an animal form, end quote, said Fedor. He eats, drinks, and sleeps. He leaves his teeth marks in the butter, in the larder, and in the fat of the bacon. He catches rabbits and performs various other services for the family. Poltergeists are an affliction. Jeff is an asset. So, this man never saw Jeff, but can say that he's taken bites out of butter and bacon and catches rabbits and performs various other services for the family, but again, he's never seen Jeff. Yeah. I just don't know how you can make a claim like that if you've never seen the creature.
I agree. I don't know. I feel like I'd like to hear, like, what the thoughts on it are.
Yeah. So continuing on, although Fedor initially concluded that, quote, all the evidence is in favor of Jeff being a talking animal, end quote, he changed his tune later on. In 1952, he wrote that he now believed Jeff to still be a talking animal, but also be a, quote, split-off part, unquote, of James Irving's unconsciousness. So there's your belief right there, that he was a split-off part of James Irving's unconsciousness.
Well, that doesn't... He thinks that he was just, like, hallucinating him in a way.
Yeah. So, we're gonna get into who is the mastermind behind Jeff the Talking Mongoose, finally. So, leading up in the days, Jeff is by and large thought to have been a hoax created by James, Margaret, and Voyery, or some combination of the three, although no one is really quite sure who's actually responsible for it. In favor of Jim, we have Jeff's preoccupation with Voyery, read by those who ascribe to this theory as a sort of channeling of his overprotectiveness of his daughter and the fact that Jeff's activity stopped as he sickened and never resumed after his death. Speaking of James Irving's death. Oh my God. Can't speak. In favor of voyeury, we have, well, a lot. Jeff's likes and dislikes mirror not only those of an adolescent girl in general, but of voyeury in particular. As Price and Lambert put it in a following in their investigation, Jeff likes biscuits, cakes, and sweets. So do young girls. Jeff is interested in motor cars and airplanes. So is voyeury. Jeff roams around the countryside watching parties of workmen and attending various local gatherings with what we know of voyeury would be doing as well. Jeff's tantrums, Jeff's affections all have quality of a raw adolescent. Some evidence suggests that voyeury, who, like Jeff, was quite good at hunting rabbits, began speaking about having a sentiment mongoose for a friend who killed rabbits she brought home sometime before either of the adult.
So it was like an imaginary friend that it's the also parents got to.
How old was basically? But the daughter? Voyeury, I think she was like 13, 14 at the time. So, it's also possible that Voyeury was inspired by the Rudyard Kipling short
story. I was actually, like, Tabby.
So, this short story features a talking mongoose being adopted by a British family. That's literally, in India.
Like, I was like, this just sounds familiar.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Yeah. So to also note, Voyeury was, in fact, lonely. She was a lonely young adolescent child. She was isolated and she was bored. With Jeff around, nobody was bored. There's also the idea that Voyeury and Margaret may have been working in tandem, with the unwriting James being taken along for the ride. Jeff's love of Margaret is often cited as an indication of this theory being correct. However, other accounts state that the mongoose actually had an intense dislike of her, which her being Margaret. He actually bit her on more than one occasion. So it's not really sure how much we can rely on Jeff's relationship with Margaret as evidence about who created him at all. What also remains a mystery is if Jeff was a hoax, exactly why the Irvings may have created him. The most obvious answer, money, appears to be incorrect. Harry Price noted that James refused to sell the few photos that the family had snapped of Jeff to any newspapers, and had also turned down a theatrical agent's offer of $50,000 for the rights of Jeff and his story. Nor did Price believe it was for fame. Quote, I know two men who quite recently have significant their attention of visiting the place, and Irving will not have them, end quote, wrote Price in a letter to a reader. But again, maybe one of them was bored. Maybe all of them were bored. The fact remains that we still don't know how it was all done, and we probably never will. So, to end this all out, there's an end to all things, Bailey. So, all things must come to an end, and Jeff, it turned out, was not immortal. He gradually began disappearing, or appearing less and less, until finally, said Voyeury in 1970, he simply never returned. The last time he recalled his presence was in the late 1930s, and just a few years after that, James Irving died. Margaret and Voyeury sold Dorlish Cashin and left in 1945. They reportedly had to sell the farm at a loss because it had the reputation of being haunted. Jeff did not.
That's
so interesting. In 1947, the farm's new owner,
I said that's interesting.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said, are you listening? I'm like, what? So, in 1947, the farm's new owner, Leslie Graham, he was actually an actor back then, claimed that to have caught Jeff and clubbed him to death with a stick. Voyeury, however, maintained that whatever it was that Graham had displayed as proof, it wasn't Jeff. It was too big. Graham reportedly never heard the creature talk. Dorlish Cashin was eventually demolished, so it no longer exists to this day. To end it, Jeff, whether he was real or not, can never go home again. In the end, it was concluded that Voyeury Irving used a ventriloquism, and the family conclusion to perpetuate the hoax. So in the end, Voldemort.
Well, that's just a theory, the right?
Yes, it is just a theory that she that's used. That's interesting.
I've never heard of that before.
Yep. 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 Yes. So, do you want to hop into quizzes. A quiz? Okay. So, our first question... our quiz overall is going to be about mongooses.
Mongoose?
Are they called mongooses?
Maybe it's just, like, moose. Like, you don't say mooses or meese. You just say moose. mongoose.
Okay. Okay, so number one. The mongoose's main diet consists of what foods? A, flowers, grasses, and insects. B, small rodents, birds, reptiles, frogs, and worms. C, tree barks, leaves, and grasses.
Yeah, I thought they were carnivores.
You are correct. Yeah. Question number two. A mongoose's habitat is A, large nest high in the trees. B, wet marshy areas. Or C, burrows in trees. The ground. Really?
That's incorrect. Is it burrows in the ground? Okay.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah. Three. What is the average lifespan of a mongoose? A, 5 years. B, 20 years. Or C, 50 years.
Five.
You're incorrect again. It's B, oh my gosh, 20 years. Well, I hope you're not going to plan on going anywhere anytime soon.
20.
Yes, you are. Four. Where is the mongoose primarily found?
Oh.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
And that last... Shit. The last two questions, I did not mark down whether they were correct or incorrect.
Wait, I would have guessed.
So I'm just going to give it to you and I'll just... Okay. So A, Africa/Asia. B, Alaska. Is it Africa/Asia?
It's not... Okay, yeah, I agree. Well, it's not the other, though, for the cold one. It's not the cold one.
It's Alaska.
Well, they said India. So, like,
okay. I mean, technically, yeah, that's where
Ricky Tikki Tacky Tabby, whatever.
Mean it's...
That's where I definitely think it's like that region.
Yeah. Okay. Last question, which is question number five: the mongoose is most famous for its ability to kill what animal? A, cobras, B, mice, or C, crickets.
So it has to be a warm environment.
I actually do remember that.
Their food and their living. I don't think it's South America. Especially if, who wrote the story?
I don't think so either.
About?
Ricky Tikki Tavi.
It was the Kipling guy? Or whatever his name was?
Who did do it? Ricky Tikki Tavi. It was written by
Kipling. Yeah, Kipling. He was the guy.
Oh wait, there's a cobra or like a snake on the front cover of this short story.
Cobra. Is he the guy that did the? Oh no, it wouldn't have been. Never mind.
Okay. So that concludes our quiz, and we are going to go into our closing of the episode. So we're going to do our verdict.
Wait, it is him. I'm sorry, I had to look it up because I didn't want to give bad information. The habitat is definitely like Asia or something because Rudyard Kipling, I thought, was the guy who wrote the Jungle Book, who also wrote White Man's Burden, and that's like the really race. Like he went. To like India and like the colonizing of India, and also it makes sense of India at the time because India was colonized by Britain and all that stuff. So
okay, are you ready to get into our verdict? Okay, so in the end we know it was concluded that Jeff was just Rory Irving's using ventriloquism or her imagination. But Bailey, do you actually believe it was Rory doing that, or do you think it was an actual mongoose that was able to talk? Or a cryptid creature.
I think it was created by their imagination. Like, I think it was just a fun little thing that Voyeri was like, oh, I have an imaginary friend. And everyone was like, you know what? He's not your friend. He's our friend. And the whole family just kind of got in on it.
Yeah. I think I'm with you there. As much as I would love there to be a talking mongoose, that came from New Delhi, India, and did all these human-like things and was able to mimic sounds. As much as I would like for that to be a thing, I am sadly going to have to agree with you that I believe it was their imagination. Just, it's kind of sad that you have to make something up like that. It's so perpetual, like, it's so broken down, though. It's so specific on the things that he would do. Like, the languages that he would speak and all the, like, how he was described, like, having a small,
maybe they believed it.
Long, bushy tail. You know, and some people can be, I don't want to say they're delusional, but some people do believe that there is an actual thing when, in fact, it's not an actual thing. Wow. What a journey we had tonight. We recorded 3 episodes in 1 freaking night. I think they will be our best episodes yet.
And then we've planned for more. Yours is next. You have to do another one.
I do have to do another one. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I was going to do a conspiracy. I have one planned out. I've been doing research on it. I'm not done looking up research, but it's going to be an interesting one. Conspiracy theory. I'll give a hint. We're going to be landing somewhere.
The moon.
What?
That's well, I think I know what mine might be, and I'll give you a hint, and it's not a hint at all, because there's so many weird stories that comes out of it, but World War II, that's all I'm gonna say. I love the 40s, I don't love World War II, like, I'm so, like, you know, it's emotionally it's very sad, but I love men's fashion in the 40s, can we please bring it back? It's my favorite time period. I honestly think in a past life, I was a British man. In the army, and I lived in the 40s, I swear.
Oh, also, I know we talked about this before, but for the listeners, I almost said viewers, for the listeners, would you guys be interested for an episode that concludes, like, an end of the year recap? Like, I know it's not very on brand for us, but I think it'd be really fun to see what shit was going on earlier this year, because, like, everything kind of went in, like, a whirlwind. Like, we would cover what happened, like, specific things that happen each month until we get to the end of, you know, December. And, like, I was thinking we'd do, like, a 2-part, like, episode. Like, we'll cover the first 6 months, and then we'll cover the last 6 months, and we both get months.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that would be fun. I know it's not very on brand, but I think it'd be fun. So, and maybe I'll do a little story about Krampus. It'll be Christmas soon.
I can do a little story about, because we do German traditions, a few of them, like hiding a pickle in the Christmas tree. I don't know if you do that. But I can tell a story about it's like the origin of tinsel. It's a German story.
Yeah.
It's really cute.
Yeah. We're going to be Christmas-y since we missed Thanksgiving. We're going to make up
Christmas
for it.
Christmas could be cool. If you do the cryptid side, I could do the cultural side. Anthropology, baby.
Yeah, we can do that. So, to conclude this episode out, check us out on Instagram. Bailey,
is it the KV Chronicle?
Instagram really quick.
It's the KV Chronicles.
I don't know what the Instagram is. It's the underscore KV underscore Chronicles. Yeah. You can do a quick little plug for it if you want. Do you want to just be like, hey, this is what we're posting, this is what we do?
Basically, on the Instagram, it's really great because you can go to Instagram, right? And you look us up. And we have a cute little thing that I wrote in the bio. Read it. It's great. And then there's a link. And you can read it through the link. You can listen to us through the link. How fun. But also, the best part is we post pictures that have to do with what we've talked about. So, like, if you want to go get a visual on, like, what we're talking about, I got you covered. Just go there. And, like, Casey's done some. And you can – it's really great. I won't leave you hanging.
Yeah. No, so to keep plugging things.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
We also got a freaking Twitter. Yeah, that I haven't touched since August. So if you go to our Twitter, it is at the KB Chronicles, not underscore. It is just at the KB Chronicles. I need to update the profile because, wow. You'll see the little intro that I stole from Bailey from our Instagram, put it on there. You can also click on the little Anchor Inc. link that you could see. I pinned a tweet of every single one of our episodes that you can listen to. So yeah, follow us both on our Instagram, our Twitter. Leave, please, for the love of God, leave feedback. We really want to know if we're doing good or not. I personally think we're doing good, but that doesn't mean somebody else doesn't think we're doing good. So, nope. Yeah. Anything else you want to add? Okay. Well, again, everyone, you are listening to the KB Chronicles, the series of outlandish events. Shh.